He's recording now.
Yeah.
I can show the same thing again. So here's what I would do. Wait a second. Why don't I share my screen? Right?
Yeah, I was gonna ask you to do that.
Share screen. Can you see my screen now? It's black.
Yeah. Yep. I can see it.
Come on. All right. So I was trying to do. Still checking something. So here's what I generally did. No, it's the same gene IDs. I can shoot. There are three major classes in genotology.
Mm-hmm.
They are molecular function, cellular component, or this one, right?
Okay.
Biology. These are all the data, and these three are the same things, but filtered for only experimentally validated.
Okay.
Right. So we looked at this one kind of thing, and select your species, and you know which. So what it is saying is by enrichment is over representation of annotations.
Mm-hmm.
What is the over representation of such functional annotations of these genes in this data set?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it depends on the p-value, how it is being scored.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the total number of annotations for that species you have in your database versus what is in your set, and then tries to do some mathematical calculation around it. And I think if we look at a lot of what you're saying, the meeting is just over now. What happened? No, log in. Is he coming in?
I think the way you put "no log in" might be confusing him.
What's his email address? Is there a way we can invite?
Well, don't you just tell him to go to Zoom dot whatever or start Zoom and then just give him the 9-digit code?
Where is the 9-digit code?
It's in our calendar event for today. So you can get the full link from there and send in the link if you should be able to. Come right in without
it. Here, I just sent it to you in the chat too.
Where is it? Come on. No, I'm not ending it. Are you still able to see? Where is this thing?
Can you see a chat on the very bottom?
The video on your right monitor. To your right, see where Justin's head is?
Yeah.
Okay. That whole thing, if you full screen that, toward the bottom of that, there should be a set of.
No, I don't see.
All right, well, I can just tell you what the number is.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 201-241
423.
But he's going to need the full length. So why don't.
Well, at least on mine, if I just go to Zoom and then hit join, I just have to put that number in.
Okay.
Go to zoom.us.
Mm-hmm.
He probably already has Zoom installed, so I think he just has to hit start it and then click the Zoom or the join button. Oh, that's not my screen.
You're seeing my screen?
Yeah, I was trying to move a window around and then I realized I couldn't because it was on your screen.
Oh, I can give you remote control. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay, yes, so you have all your controls.
I don't know what happened. Are you coming in?
We'll probably take him a minute. Has he joined by Zoom before?
We've had calls with him on Zoom before.
Okay, good. So he's already got the client.
It's getting near for him, I guess. Am I on a different meeting? I'll just stop share right now for the moment.
Sorry, if you want me to get really engaged in fixing it, let me know. It's just many of your questions are rhetorical, so I don't know if you're thinking out loud or actually asking.
No, I don't know what is happening to you. Did he join into another meeting? This is the one, right?
No, I got it from the calendar.
Is the same one?
Is the number the same?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I'm sure it is.
No message? We already joined the meeting, right?
Nope, there he is.
Oh, hello. Hi, Eugene. Can you hear us? Wait, did he say something? Or should we just switch over to Skype? I have no idea. Hello, 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 hello. Can you hear us?
Since he's on, you may be able to reach his chat right now.
Okay,
no,
I can hear.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Good. The interface, I didn't realize I need to set it separately. Okay.
Right. Okay. I was trying to show genotology. Right? I was going to show you the gene ontologies, gene enrichment profiling. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you a little bit about the enrichment. You know more about that enrichment part, kind of things. So I just went to their website.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And on the
Can you share your screen again?
Oh yeah. Can you see?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I did was I input the Arabidopsis gene IDs, for example,
mm-hmm.
select the major class of the ontology, like biological process or function or cellular component kind of things. Let's say this time do molecular function. Select your species because it's calculating against the species data
mm-hmm.
that you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
right? And submit, technically, if everything works, well, as the database is down, sending too many queries.
No.
Oh, something is coming up. Okay, so it sends you back that what kind of molecular function annotation is overrepresented in the gene set that you had as an input file,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And there is some math going around behind it, how they calculate all these some background frequency and sample frequency and things like that,
mm-hmm.
right? So people are basically trying to, let's say if they have hundreds of genes
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to go one by one to look for function. They mm-hmm. just want to see a mile high or a 10,000 mile high view of the overview of the data set, what is represented in this data set. right?
Yes.
And so that's what they're getting from that, okay, from that enrichment for reporting purposes or analyzing their data set. So, for example, if I do an experiment on treating the rice plants with salt,
mm-hmm,
and do a gene expression analysis,
mm-hmm,
I expect to see the genes, more genes with the function associated with some kind of a stress,
mm-hmm,
like a salt stress or osmotic stress or mm-hmm something like that, right? Mm-hmm. But if I start seeing genes, and that is expected, it's also one way of confirming that your data is good that you generated in your lab. But if I start seeing fruit ripening, or if I start seeing embryo development, or if I start seeing some other weird functions in my data sets,
mm-hmm,
then it gives me two clues. Either my data is corrupted,
mm-hmm,
or I'm picking up new novel things in my data set that was not expected, but I can go and explore and build hypotheses saying I'm picking something new functions in this stress environment,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yes.
So for example, if I do a same stress experiment in Corvallis versus in Portland,
uh-huh,
mm-hmm, idea is that I should get exactly the same enrichment.
Yes.
But since the geographical location is different, the condition and the water and photoperiod might change.
Uh-huh.
Other factors might change. It might show something different.
Okay.
Majority would overlap, but some new.
Okay.
If something is new, can we pick it up in this mile high view of this data set? Right. Okay. That's how people are trying to.
Okay.
So that's one respect. So right now, this is a very bare bone minimum. What do you call it? Bare minimum. Kind of an analysis and the visualization that we are seeing here from that perspective.
Basically, they just a list of results.
List of, yeah, and it's up to the user how he interprets this data and the relationship of all these terms. It's just a flat list.
I cannot see the relationship between all these.
You cannot.
Yes.
You're not able to see it, right?
Yes. So we want to do something that make people can easier to.
Yes. So there is, I'll show you another tool that is AgriGo, for example. I can query the same set of gene sets here,
mm-hmm,
selected the same species,
mm-hmm,
right? And I will just say against, there are different kinds of data sets,
mm-hmm,
against which I can query.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take TAIR9 gene model, for example. I'll increase the font size. Mm-hmm. TAIR9 gene model, that's the default, right? Or genome locus kind of things. If I want to go advanced, I can say what method you want to use.
Okay.
Right. These are the standard statistical methods, right? And you can have more on that side or multi-test enrichment kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And in the previous view, you were not allowed to select your filters. You want a p-value of 0.05 or something smaller than that or greater than that and things like that. Here you can do that, right? And you can also limit the number of minimum number of entries in your data.
Okay.
How many minimum should match?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take out the noise kind of thing, so you might start putting some filters kind of things. And then there are saying, do you want to do it against the complete Go? Complete all 28,000, 30,000 terms in the gene ontology.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to limit your analysis only to the terms that apply for plants.
Okay.
Since we are coming from plants, so we may want to see that we want to analyze only for the plant subset that are relevant for plants, not for humans or mouse. So that could be one way of looking at it. Kind of, right? And I hope we get it. I don't know if it's going to work in our kind of thing or not. Previously, it used to work. In the meantime, I will open it here too. There might be some methods or things like that.
this query process is
really slow. It is allow. That's here you go.
Okay.
I mean.
How long does this normally take?
Depending on the tool that you're analyzing, generally it's pretty fast. I don't know, the campus is having an internet issue today.
Oh. Yeah, I saw that, but well, this looks like it's being sent to a clustering system to do the analysis. It's not.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice because it's not doing it. It's doing it live, so that if data changes, it doesn't have to preload all that. But it would be nice if this was faster.
Oh, it's saying something. There you go. It was okay, actually fast. My browser was not opening up the pop-up kind of things.
Oh, okay.
So it analyzed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But sends me the results to view and filter by class by class.
Okay.
Right? And there are certain options that you can see. But let's say if I create an image for biological processes,
okay.
Then it will give me a tree, a relationship, right?
Oh, okay.
So it gives me all the statistical things that 7 out of the 46 genes mapped,
mm-hmm.
versus out of the total set was this thing, and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe at some point it was showing up the p-values as well. But the color is based on the levels, significance levels. So if the significance level or overrepresentation is higher, it's more hot.
Okay.
In that sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the arrows that you connect, seeing the boxes connected are the relationship between those terms.
Okay.
That we're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a better visualization. People know in some ways in which section of the ontology the enrichment is happening.
Okay.
It's a little bit more visualizing.
Yes.
And so people like this kind of a thing as well. We can go back, and if you, let's molecular function, what do we get? Only these many. So transcription factor, kinase, and these things are obviously get added.
Okay.
Because I told you last time that everything that a child has moves upwards.
Yes.
With the parents. Mm-hmm. That's what you
keep. Is that why the white ones just mean there's nothing directly
white ones
related to those terms? Those are just parent terms of?
Yes.
Of, okay.
Right, but only this section is much up. Only in that sense, right? The white ones are there. This is the only subsection that was highly enriched. But it's just showing you the relationship of this graph to this term. Yeah. That's one. And then section, I hope there's something on cellular component. It will tell you a little bit more about it. It's more on nucleus kind of things, right? So people can start interpreting the biology, what is happening in these. What am I seeing in this data,
mm-hmm.
and how can I interpret it to build my hypothesis for biology? So, for example, if you see nucleus here in this one, and you saw molecular function, which is you had transcription factor. So transcription factors always work inside the nucleus of the cell, so you know that it is coming out okay. Kind of thing. Enrichment is meeting my goals, it's meeting the biologies, it's representing the biology correctly. Kind of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was way of looking at it this way, but you can generate the bar graphs as well.
Okay.
And something similar. So, there you go, kind of things, right? It doesn't go that detailed,
mm-hmm.
but it stays on the top level kind of thing. So the processes are compared. So blue one is, which is that blue one?
Pockage, do you know if this is the exact same data that was on the Go site? It's just
displayed
differently?
No, it was exactly the same data.
Okay. Right? But Amigo just doesn't have all this built-in nice graphic stuff already.
Right. And if, let's say, if something is enriched here for response to stimulus, I believe this is what is represent. Oh, this is my list. And this is in my background against which I analyze my data.
Okay.
So green ones is background reference,
mm-hmm.
and blue is, so you can see that it is fairly big representation. How does the overrepresentation of that particular response to stimulus
mm-hmm.
is represented in my data compared to the overall data?
Okay.
So in the overall data, the number of genes representing response to stimulus are much, much less. Right?
Okay. Yes.
But in, so let's say, for example, if there are 1,000 genes in the genome,
mm-hmm.
only 5% are response to stimulus in the overall picture.
Okay.
But in my data, that 5% gets hyper-represented
mm-hmm.
because those are the ones which are more importantly or more expressed.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you're seeing a bigger bar.
Yeah, the input.
Right?
Okay.
Right? So you can compare what is overall set, background set against which I used versus my set. Do you get it, Eugene?
Yeah.
Right? So because my list of 100 or 1,000
mm-hmm.
or my list of 100
mm-hmm.
have more of those 5% represented in my set. That's what it is. And then people, if you are interested, what are actually, which genes are actually enriched in this data set
mm-hmm.
For me in my data,
mm-hmm.
I can just click on it. And that's what you're getting. This was the gene. This was their annotation. So this gene should have been sitting in my data somewhere here that I did put in.
So from my understanding, if I collect all this data and research again, I will get the blue bar, right? Like 100%, right?
But here's what I would say.
So like this one, the 100, oh, this is 40%?
Input list is more than, percent of genes is 40.
Okay.
Right. But if I go back, I'll show you. That data is already here,
oh.
represented in a tabulated form, kind
mm-hmm.
of things,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
From them. And you can pick and choose. Now, what you saw was what it, in the previous rounds of this, in the graph and the histogram that I showed you,
mm-hmm.
it showed everything.
Yes.
What is enriched based on my filters. But you can, if you're not satisfied with your view, you can pick and choose the terms that you would like to see in your data set based on your p-value.
Can you, sorry, I didn't see that. Can you sort by like the number and input list or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But you can actually, it says download.
Oh.
So you should be able to download it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
In that set, and obviously people want to use this data for publication purposes, right? So you saw this is something, and you can change to Bonferroni, or I'm just playing around with it kind of things. And instead of plan, you just say complete go.
Okay.
This time you say submit again. Let's see what do we get now. It was pretty fast, so you got the result.
Yeah, that was pretty quick.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
This time, since I did it for a bigger set, bigger background set, all the ontologies, then you saw a much bigger set over here represented in that set. Right? Does that make sense to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
So you saw a bare minimal from the Go, which is Amigo database that these guys are trying to install, versus another version where it's more graphical and more user-friendly and appealing to the users.
Yes.
Right? And something similar, in this one it is just coloring and giving you the idea from that side. I think if I have it, strawberry. I think we had it in the strawberry genome paper. Another one, I'll try it. This one. We did this one, full limit size. It's the same kind of an enrichment, but using a different tool
mm-hmm.
called BINGO, B-I-N-G-O.
BINGO.
Right? I'll send you the link. That is a plugin to Cytoscape. It's a network viewer.
Okay.
So, or a graph viewer, basically, right? On this, the colors, you can see, depending on the significance, the more significant are more orange. And the size of the bubble depends on the number of entities represented.
Okay. Their numbers of entities.
So the more number of genes are in the bigger ones versus the smaller ones.
Oh, I see.
In the aggregate, what you saw here, in the histogram, but in this one, it gave you the numbers here. Box sizes are same.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, I see.
It gave you the numbers here. Mm-hmm. Whereas in, where is it gone? In this case, numbers are not here, but you can, I think if you're in the playing around with the BinGo tool, it will give you the table and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for visualization purposes, it is not giving you the numbers here on the view, but it's telling you the bigger is the circle, more number of entities are represented.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, this has more number of genes, but enrichment is much lower compared to the sum of the other. So there are different ways and means of looking at it. So here's what my understanding, and Eugene has to leave pretty quickly, is that the data that you need, the background data,
mm-hmm.
That is all held up in the Amigo database that Justin and Chris are trying to put together.
Okay.
Right? The basic level of gene ontology data.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go and fetch the data somewhere. That would be available in the database. People would come and input their own objects that they want to query against.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then get some kind of an enrichment analysis, as you just saw.
Now, you say that, but do we actually have this type of data? We don't have Panther data loaded, and I didn't think we were going to. Is there
some
place you're expecting to get all this besides just annotation data?
I think all you need is, it's a mathematical calculation, basically. Right? Behind them is an algorithm that is telling you the enrichment. Right?
Mm.
For enrichment, all you need is you're calculating against the full set of the data,
mm-hmm.
what is represented in your background data, and what is represented in your input set. You get it?
Are you suggesting that you reproduce that algorithm?
No. You can train that algorithm to work on your website with your own code. Or if, for example, AgriGo is available, would you be able to integrate AgriGo in our Amigo? Can you integrate this algorithm into you can, if the tool is available for download, and you integrate it into Amigo, or you want to write something of your own, right?
Okay.
So that is one way.
So overall, do you like the AgriGo approach?
I think it is a good one, but here's an advantage over here. For example, if you don't have your species represented here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it has a customized annotation. Annotation would allow you to entry. So let's say, for example, I work on flax or I work on watermelon.
Okay.
And watermelon data is not there. I annotated my own watermelon data. Right,
mm-hmm.
So I'm able to pull all the Go annotations, my genes, all the genes in this thing, and here's my customized reference, right? So I would input this thing, my IDs, my Go annotation, right? Here you put your gene list, here you put your own thing, and you analyze your own data, independent of whether it is there in the database or not.
Okay.
If it is there in the database, you would have. So this gives an advantage to the users, and if their data is not there, then you also get it. Because the algorithm is going to work anyhow.
Okay.
Right? If you if you select our data that we host, then it works, the algorithm works with our data. Mm-hmm. If you don't select it and you customize it for you, the algorithm just takes your data and does the enrichment analysis and sends it back, gives it back to you.
Okay.
But for that purpose, for drawing the graph, the original annotation was not in the data, but ontology is still in your data.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The graph that you show between the term relationship, that is still in your database.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still show, project that enrichment analysis of a new species, but on an existing graph. Is that making sense?
Yeah, and you can probably mix and match species using that method too, right?
I don't know.
Because it doesn't care what species it is at that point.
Yeah, you can compare it against any species.
Well, I mean, if you're putting in your own gene IDs and annotation references,
right.
So you're not putting in a species at all. So you could do multi-species ones if you wanted to for whatever reason.
So because I'm not very familiar with the biology, I have a question. So we have the ID for each gene, and even we are different kind of species. We can have the same gene.
Yes.
And
so for example, we as a humans share about 6,000 genes with plants.
Uh-huh. Oh, so we share the same gene with the plants.
It has a common ancestor.
Okay.
So the gene that a plant gene that works in respiration, for example. If a homologue of this exists in humans,
uh-huh.
it is more likely that it is going to work in the same way. Right?
We do
the respiration, plants do the respiration, so we have the genes that are common that would do some similar function.
I think answer what you're asking, the gene IDs are normally species specific, but you can have I forget the naming for them, but you can have a different gene name that corresponds to different gene IDs for each species. So like the up here where he has the AT5G and whatever, those are Arabidopsis gene.
Okay.
Right? But there are gene names like WRKY-ORF1, and that is corresponding to a specific ATG from Arabidopsis and a different LOC one from rice and so on. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, but right now it is allowing you to query, if you're inputting your selected species, then it is you're analyzing it against your own background. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Mm-hmm.
But if you come with a new species, you can do it against your own, against any other background. That, yeah?
Okay.
So this is one way. I mean, I don't know how you want to do it kind of things. But if we adopt Amigo, you get a bare minimum. If you adopt Agrigo and integrate it into Amigo analysis, then it is a little bit more user-friendly and gives you more options.
Do we know all these algorithms, all these the calculation algorithms?
You have to read the paper.
Paper.
You need to read the paper kind of things. So, right? That's where it happens.
Okay.
Well, and it depends on how much of their code is available too.
Yeah, I was about to say, if they've published already, they may have released the code if it's an open source project. So in addition to reading the paper, which you do need to do, get a broad context and understand what's going on. Where I would be hopeful that the source code would be available.
Yeah.
So you'd have a starting place.
Still, knowing the algorithm will be helpful,
of course.
I don't know if the software is available. I did not see anywhere.
And our long goal is that we develop a more, much more good, better algorithm to do these things.
Yes. If you can come up with better algorithm. That is where the question comes to Eugene. Is Eugene, you have a project with Yan Ming, right?
Yeah.
And you guys developed a little bit different method on doing the Go enrichment. So you may want to think about analyzing that one or adopting that one,
mm-hmm.
but running a similar interface kind of things or a better interface.
Trying to find all these relationships between all these different.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there is a paper here and you on the aggregate kind of things. And I don't know if the software is available or not, but you might have to. It's just giving you the. Yeah, you had to read about the things. How they do the calculations and things like that.
Right? Yeah, I'm searching and I am not yet finding source code.
You didn't upload the code. Okay.
But we could contact Zhen Xu and ask.
Yes.
And they developed this by the PHP?
Yes, that's what it is saying here.
Yeah, in because Python on a MySQL database.
Oh, PHP, okay. And the data is MySQL. I know about the data science.
So data is actually in the MySQL. It was MySQL, but I think we have moved away from the MySQL data, right?
Yeah.
You might have to work around to see how this algorithm actually accesses the data that database that Elsevier Justin Elsevier is doing.
What is the database we are using now?
There is no database.
It's a Solr Apache Solr backend.
So that website.
Oh, I can read this.
And if the lab mm-hmm. makes their source code available there as opposed to on the project website that Pankaj was demonstrating, maybe you could get it here or contact the lab and ask if it's available. Since they've already published on it.
This Argo is organized by
Can you send a link to in a mail? A mail. So I would suggest that Eugene sends a communication and copies to you and me, for example. I don't know how good it's the folks over there take it, kind of things, right? Okay. Right. So
I don't care. Ask anyway.
try to get the software. From them if they have built and if they are willing to share it with us. Otherwise,
we need to develop.
This is one, and I'll show you the another one.
This is Argo, right?
Yeah, Bingo enrichment. Enrichment analysis. There's a paper on that too. There's an app store, Cytoscape, it's a plugin. Cytoscape. So this is all very much into, it is available from here, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
So those are other things. I can send you the link for that, Bingo. Mm-hmm. Eugene to Bhutan.
Can you send it to me too, please?
Oh, I'll just send it to everybody then. Okay. Why don't I send it to everybody? Where is it gone?
So it seems to me that this kind of work falls very squarely into the visual analysis tools portion of the Planium proposal, which is great. We've got work that directly aligns with what we said we were going to do mm-hmm. on the project. Even though you can probably work fairly independently on this in terms of the platform that you do the work on, I'm wondering, Eugene and Justin, if you guys have any thoughts about looking ahead a little bit to where to develop this kind of tool in a way that it's easily integrated with Amigo, that it's easily integrated with the Planio web portal. You don't have to hyperplan it, but if we think ahead a little bit, it'd be nice to make sure we can just slot the tool right into our portal at the appropriate time. Whether that
I don't actually see why that would be a problem. I mean, even if it's PHP and whatever, the only thing we'd probably have to change is from a MySQL data store to Solr, which hopefully PHP has built-in libraries to just deal with that.
Right, and it could be just a widget to connect to your
sure. In which case, thinking long-term then,
Our version of Amigo is our main data browsing point, entry point for most. They could sample off to enrichment analysis tools from somewhere in the Amigo site.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Right. So this is one way of one way. And Eugene, please feel free to add your comments and suggestions, because I have not reviewed Yan Ming's analysis algorithm, but you are probably more familiar with that.
Yeah.
Whatever you saw here was very gene ontology centric, and I don't know how much of flexibility is there,
mm-hmm.
but it, technically we will carry a lot more number of ontologies. So we can make it as generic as possible. Let the users pick and choose their class
mm-hmm.
analysis against.
Yeah.
More vocabularies or graphical things that you saw. We have more number of terms.
Mm-hmm.
They had only 3 classes, we would have somewhat like 8 or 10 classes.
Hey, Justin, it looks to me like the graph illustrator used in Agrigo is probably from the same or a similar base package for the graph illustrator on Amigo. What was that called again?
It's called GraphViz.
Yeah.
It's a pretty common package for doing graphic stuff.
Okay. I'm going to make a note of it in this email as well. It was probably Perl originally, but there may be ports of it now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably most likely that there will be a port in Python.
For your research, for example, project is one of the better algorithms. Right, that's one way. And do you have time to move into the other one? Other database that I wanted to show you about the genus?
Well, Pankaj, I actually have to go for my class at 2:00.
Right.
And I still need to grade a couple of students' homework before I do that.
Okay, sure.
So I guess would it be good to do it again next week about this time, or maybe Thursday?
Most likely it will work. If not, then I will ask somebody else to do it for you and show you.
Okay.
Okay, right. But I think I gave you the idea and you have the tools, access to it.
Yeah.
You already start reading about the ontology enrichment and see.
Okay.
Right. Wonderful. Oh, yeah. Right. Thank you. Nice. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a nice weekend.
Okay. See you guys.
See you later.
Bye.